All right, very good. Welcome, everyone. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Good answer, good answer. Well, welcome, everybody. This net is a weekly conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, electricity, telecommunications, the natural phenomena that support all this wonderful stuff, about how we use it to serve our communities, ourselves, how we pursue the radio art, if you will. And we encourage anyone to participate, whether or not you have a question, comment, or for sale swap or wanted item. So, this net is run on 146.955 megahertz, 146.955 megahertz. The 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, located in Alpine, New Jersey. The repeater's PL is 141.3, and of course, the, the offset is minus 600 kilohertz. Furthermore, the repeater is accessible, and the net is accessible via Echolink at K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-L for Lima, K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-Lima. Feel free to check in that way as well. We'll have a special check-in for that. In any case, you check into this net in kind of an interesting way. You check in with your call sign, your name. Basically, you introduce yourself, and you indicate whether you have a question, a comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item. Some combination of those things or none of the above. You may ask, why would I check in if I had none of the above? And the answer is because we need to know who the audience is so that we can target the way we address the net to your needs. Further, you might find yourself being a resource for something. Maybe one of us knows about something that you know about that you didn't think about that you knew. So we can kind of tap into your brain about it for some your opinion on something. So that's really important. So with no further ado, let's check in an orderly way, starting with the Whiskey Twos. Please call K2BAR.
Good evening, Gordon. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
WA2 Uniform, Mike Papa. Good evening, Jim. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
W2TTT, K2BAR. W2 Charlie Hotel, Ray and White Plains, with a comment. Good evening.
Good evening, Ray. Whiskey 2, Charlie Hotel. You have a comment. Very good. We'll take that note of that. We'll move on. Any other whiskeys?
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, Washington Township. Nothing this evening.
WU2S, Randy, who, by the way, is also our co-host, co-net control, co-facilitator of this net, and has generously volunteered to log tonight's net, and actually will be the net control next week, because I will probably be participating from a bus coming back from Washington, D.C. by Echolink in order to keep things moving next week. We'll have Randy actually run the net, and I'll just chime in where needed, if needed. So that's very cool. And Randy, thank you again for your help this weekend next. Alrighty, any other whiskeys?
WA2QVC, Bruce, no traffic.
No comments or questions tonight.
Okay, I got both of you. Wow, that was great. WA2 Quebec, Bravo Charlie. Bruce, welcome aboard. And WI2W, Steve, welcome aboard as well. Any other whiskeys?
E Bravo 2, Juliet Charlie Charlie Mobile, WB2JCC, Maddie in Westchester. I am listening tonight.
Hey, Maddie, very good. WA2JCC from Yar. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys? Just call somebody out. W2JEK, are you on frequency? Okay, we'll come back to that. Very good. Novembers, any Novembers? NY9A, good evening, Gordon. November Yankee 9 Alpha, good evening, George. What are your intentions, sir?
Well, I think I'll just be listening, but you never can tell with me.
You're like me, you don't know when, well, you don't know if you should clamp it up. Don't worry about it, it's all good. All right, any other Novembers? Okay, let's go to Alphas real quick.
For Charlie, 2 Tango.
AC2T, good evening. Paul, what are your intentions?
Just be lurking today. If I have anything, I'll pop in.
Puzzle top. Okay, very good. Thank you, Paul. Any other Alphas? Okay, let's go to station specifically. Kilo followed immediately by the number 2.
2 EIR, Howie in Terrytown, none of the above.
Good evening, Howie, K2EIR. Gotcha. Any other Kilo 2s?
K2GFM, Greg in Montvale, just listening.
Good evening, Greg, Kilo 2 Golf, Foxtrot, Mike. Anybody else? And welcome aboard, by the way. Any Kilo, any format.
KE2KB, Kilo Echo 2, Kilo Bravo, Frank in T-Neck, just listening.
2KB, welcome aboard, Frank. Any other Kilos?
KB2SSE, Ken, listening.
Good evening, Ken, KB2 Sierra, Sierra Echo. Nice, welcome aboard to you as well. Any other Kilos? Any stations, any format?
Kilo Bravo 3, Papa Quebec, Papa. I forgot the key to Mike.
Harry, just, don't you just hate that? Kilo Bravo 3, Pa Quebec Bravo, EQP, right?
Papa Q Papa, yes.
I all of a sudden got tongue-tied. Papa Quebec Papa. Okay, very good, very good. Welcome aboard. Your intention?
I'm working on building a control panel, so I will be listening to you guys, and if I hear anything I like, I'll chime in.
We may have a query for you before too long. Okay, very good. Any other stations we should check in other than Echolink? We'll get to Echolink in a minute.
And 2 NBR, John, just listening.
2 November Bravo Radio, welcome, John. Great. Any other?
N2 CKD in Cortland Manor, just listening.
Okay, November 2, Charlie Kilo Delta. Your name, sir?
The name is Lovji.
Lima Oscar Victor Juliet India?
That's correct.
Okay, Lovji, very good. Let's refresh my memory. What's the origin of that name?
If this is Gordon, we had talked about it some time ago, from India, originally from India. We talked about scouting at one time.
I thought so. Very good. Very good, Lovji. All right, welcome aboard. All right, very cool. All right, any other stations for the net?
KM4 GHN, Westchester, it's Mitch, monitoring.
Hello, Mike 4, Golf. Hello, Mike. Welcome aboard, Mitch. No. Anybody else?
Kilo Delta 2, Golf Golf, Romeo, William, T-Neck, just listening.
B2, Golf Golf, Romeo, board, and your name? 82, Golf Golf, Romeo, your name, please? Yeah, I think you have to key up the radio and then talk. I think what's happening is you're keying up the radio as you're talking. 82 Golf Golf Romeo, W2K2BAR. Your name, please.
Sorry about that, Gordon. The plug was, I pulled on the end, pulled on the plug, it popped out. His name is William, KD2GGR.
Very good, William. We've all done that. Lately, I've been having a run of things like that happen to me. I can sympathize. Absolutely. Well, welcome to the net again. Any other stations for the net?
KM4GHN, correction, that's Golf Hotel November. None, Mike. Over.
Lord, yeah, I forgive me. GHN as November. Thank you very much, Mitch. Thousand apologies. I'll break out the boiled spaghetti. You can make the thousand lashes in my back. I'd prefer it on my plate, however. Anyway. Alrighty. Any other stations? Alright, any stations on Echo Link? Okay. Very good. So, Randy, before we start, I do want to make some announcements. I know there was a test session last Friday night at Westwood High School, JEK and the Baratuff team ran it, and I don't have any results from that, but there are monthly test sessions. They're given in most months when the school session. They don't do one in December at the school, but they do one at Bergenfield in December. It's been the custom for the last almost a decade now. And July and August, they take off. But the rest of the year, there are test sessions once a month, usually the third Friday of the month, unless there's an issue that, or a holiday that gets in the way, if they push it around to a different Friday night. So, anybody have any questions about licensing or getting your ticket, et cetera, please call K2BAR. Well, you can go to www.bara.org, and you will see under the appropriate heading, you'll see licensing your testing activities. Always reach out to the link that's provided for testing. It's right on there on the main page. Anybody have any questions about licensing at this time? Just keep in mind that if you do have a friend who, or somebody you know who's let their ticket lapse beyond the two-year mark, say they were a general or an extra or whatever, then they can restore those privileges by simply taking the technician written exam, particularly to provide currency on the common rules operation. And once that's passed, you are restored to your previous amateur level. We'll get a new call sign out of the sequential batch. Always try to apply for your old call sign as a vanity if it's available, and that your license class is sufficiently high to warrant that. But basically, there's a post-grace period procedure for recovering your license, no matter what the license grade was. Kind of cool. Alrighty, Randy, who's our first commenter? I think we'll get the comments squared away. K2BAR.
Our first commenter this evening is Ray, Whiskey 2, Charlie Hotel.
Okay, Mr. Ray, it's your ball. WTH, K2BAR.
K2BAR, Antoinette, W2CH. Good evening, Gordon and others. It's been a while. It's been on. Some things going on. Just got a new rig here a couple of days ago. Just wanted to mention it. It came out last week and got it. The ICOM IC2730. Probably seen some ads for it. Not too much in reviews or any groups or programming for it yet. I have the programmed it at 50 watts both bands. Just thought I'd mention it for anyone interested. It seems pretty good, pretty intuitive, and a reasonable price. I think most of the dealers have it now. So just wanted to say hello and comment that having it also a new antenna up, Comet GP1, the small one, but it's dual band and should alter up the signal. I'm just now on low power at 5 watts. So back to K2BAR and the net, W2CH.
Very good, Ray. I have a couple of quick questions. So, the ICOM 2730 is a 50-watt dual-band radio. Very nice. What modes does it support, and is it a dual-receive kind of radio? Does that cross-band repeat, that kind of thing?
Okay, Gordon, yes. No other modes. It is not a D-Star, as most things happen from ICOM and their products, just like Yaesu with most things having fusion now. It is analog only. They seem to emphasize that. I don't know if it really replaces the 2720 or some model like that. I'm not sure. But it's a large display, white display background with large 1-inch high numerals. Forget the number of memories. I can't remember. I've read too much yet. It is crossband. It is dual display, dual control either side. The interesting thing is most everything is an accessory. The bracket, the mount with a suction cup if you want to do that, some of the other things. Also, I did pay $50 for the interface bracket between the head and the unit, which normally, you know, is together. But they seem to emphasize selling it as a unit with the cable that comes with it, the separation cable and the head. Then there's even another mount for the head that lets it be magnetic or so. So that's some of the options with it. Also, it will do Bluetooth with the inboard device and external device. I didn't go for that, but that might be handy for people. Those are just some things. Otherwise, it's pretty intuitive. I could pretty easily get onto repeaters, VHF, UHF, and also seems to have a good sensitivity, and with the new antenna, of course, is an improvement. And it's nice that it's 50 watts both bands. So that's a few comments. Any other questions there, Gordon, or anybody else?
Yeah, wow, that's pretty neat. So, it comes with the separation kit, meaning the cable, but you have to buy all the mounts if you're going to operate it separated. The way I'm getting it, but you can of course clamp it as one you know, unified radio. Correct?
Yes, that is correct. It can be one radio, unlike some now, like say the 7100, where you have that sloping head on that HF, D-Star, all-mode rig, and the body is separate. This can't be connected, but as I said, it was a separate purchase for that. Doesn't come with it or come as a unit together. So the radio was a pretty good price, I think, for what it is, $350 from the dealer I dealt with. It's in that range. It came down a bit more than they first said it would be, about $400. And the interface part, which is a plate, a couple of screws, and a short cable of the RJ type between the mic and the, where the mic connection would be to the body is very short, a couple of inches. But it all goes together. It slides over somewhat like an ICOM head did before on the 706. And the mic plugs in from the side. There's a fan in back, which does seem to run all the time when you're transmitting, but it's not noisy, objectionably so. And there's two ways of doing the speakers separately. There's one speaker, but I mean external speakers can be added. And that's a couple of other things. You have your tones, your usual features, and of course things change a bit when you're in VFO mode that you have to keep resetting. Once you're in the memory, then what you set will be there.
K2EIR.
Super, super. All right, anybody have any questions for Ray regarding the ICOM 2720 dual band FM 50 watt radio?
Yes, K2EIR.
Go ahead, Howie.
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Ray. Ray, I've been looking at the photos of some new rigs, for example, I think not the ICOM 7000, but maybe the 7100. And I remember looking at it and saying, my goodness, those connectors, the coaxial connector and the phono jacks look kind of cheap for a rig. That, you know, that rig, the 7100, I think is well over $1,000. What's your take on the quality of connectors, knobs, and that kind of thing, or quality of the rig, Ray? K2EIR.
Okay, K2EIR, and that's W2CH. Good evening, Howie. Good to hear you. Thank you for asking. No, the quality seems good. I've had no glitches in a couple of days. I can say that, no, it's a good quality. You know, as far as everything seems to fit well and came well packaged, the buttons and controls seem to work smoothly. Nothing is wiggling or anything like that. So as a first-hand comment, you've got your head mount that's got that bracket that goes behind it that is a bigger profile to the front of the radio because it's a big display, relatively big, bigger than the older one. But it's very visible. I would not say I've had any problem with connectors or anything like that in the back so far. Now, as I see so far about it, I don't know how well one can tell from looking at photos or descriptions. As I say, there's not been much, but usually the standard verbiage about what the radio would be in any kind of pre-roll, I have nothing to compare to by others. But that's how I feel about it. It seems it's Japanese-made as far as that goes. And that quality. I think ICOM's a pretty good line. Oh, K2EIR, W2CH.
Yes, Ray. Have you had a chance to look at the display in bright sunlight as in the mobile? And if so, what's the visibility? K2EIR.
Good question. I would say I haven't, to be honest. I have not had it in the mobile yet in the sun. That's, you know, compared to, say, the IC7000, which I've used at field day, and in the sun, it washes out. Now, this is almost a background like a Kindle, you know, that white kind of, well, LED, over an inch and a half tall, and the letters are a good three-quarter, numbers, I should say. I would say, but I will update it, that it should be quite visible mobile. It's certainly to me more visible than, say, some others with a more orangey background or a smaller display of some other rigs I've had. So that's the best I could say and what I predict it would be like in the mobile, but I will have to see. I would say with that neutral kind of background and the dark numbers that big, it should be quite good.
Sure, thank you, Ray. And I just mentioned as I turn it back to net control, I can't help remembering, but that Ray used to check in to a net of mine 40-something years ago, 45 years ago. It's so good to hear Ray's voice. It's just like yesterday. And the thing I always wonder, Gordon, is how did I live so long? Back to net control, W2TTP from K2EIR.
Oh, Howie, that's easy. As a married man, you should know the answer. You haven't pissed off your wife, so you end up on one of those Knives with Wives shows.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that there was some reason in being married that I live, that she's taking good care of me or something.
Well, that may be true, but, you know, you haven't pissed her off, at least enough.
Sometimes I wonder. Okay, thanks, K2EIR.
Fair enough. Alrighty, very good. Ray, anything else you want to add?
Okay, Gordon, and thank you, Howie, for the comment there from the Nets. After all those years, it's good to be around. And you too. And yes, I'd say just as a comment, it's nice to have a wife too as a ham. She's not in the room right at the moment, so she didn't check in. but she just renewed last summer after 10 years. So anyway, as far as other comments on it, I can't add how the programming goes manually yet. I haven't done it as I'm just testing on VFO. And as I said, that still would need the cable and the program as far as the one that ICOM is going to put online, CS2730, that they seem to provide for most of their rigs. So that's it. Any other question if you want to ask, if somebody does have. But I'd say so far, initial impressions are pleasing.
It does so appear. It does so appear. Very nice. Very, very nice. Any intermodulation that you've noticed? Any spurious signals that you don't like to hear where you're hearing them?
Good point. No, so far it's pretty quiet. I'm in the city here, and there's a lot of stuff nearby, being the county seat, and a lot of different services, and so I can tell from some others that this seems pretty quiet here so far. Have to see how it is in the Mobile. But with the gain antenna here, right near downtown, I think that's a pretty good test, as opposed to being in the rural area.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Okay, very good. Very, very good. Anybody else have anything for Ray about the ICOM 2730? Very good, Ray. Anything else?
No, thank you. That's why I said I had comment. Really not a question, but I thought I'd just take advantage of the forum to mention this, anybody interested, and also to be back on here more. I have an HT, and it's not always as convenient, so it's nice having a base Mobile. Anyway, thank you. K2BAR, W2CH.
W2JC. Okay, very good, Ray. Thank you very much, then. Jim, W2JC, what's your intention?
Checking in, and I have a swap and shop.
Roger. You know what? I don't think we have any other swap and shops, so let's go to you now. WJC, welcome aboard K2BAR.
Thank you. I'm working on my vertical antenna over the weekend. I discovered I have a pretty good supply of UHF right angle connectors, most of which are in brand new, well, old brand new condition. So if anybody needs some of those, they could contact me. On the other hand, I don't have any UHF to BNC, UHF male to BNC female adapters. So if anybody has an excess of them, I would like to help them reduce their stock. Over.
Roger. So you need a PL259 to a BNC female, right?
That's correct.
And what is the dielectric content of your angles? Are they polystyrene, phenolic, or nylon, or in my dreams, are they Teflon? And are the connectors silver plated, or are they just chrome of one form or another?
They're definitely silver plated. They're military quality, although I've taken them out of the dock envelopes because they take up too much space. I don't know what the dielectric is, but it's pretty good because it's military grade.
Oh, what color is it?
As I recall, they're like tannish.
Okay, so they're probably like collite or something like that. Yeah, they're not Teflon. But above all, they're not polystyrene. Yay.
Definitely not Teflon. And they're definitely about 40 years old.
That's fine. That's fine. Anybody who's interested in them, how might they get in touch with you?
I'm on 7-9 all the time. I'm on email all the time, W2JC at jimcooper.org.
Excellent. And of course, they can chirp in now if they're interested, if they're listening. Or not. Okay, very good. Anything else, Jim?
Well, I still have that 80 or 100 feet of underground power cable. You want it? Still, I have it. Over.
Roger. Okay, well, we'll work on that. I've got a trip this weekend, so I'm not going to be around after tomorrow morning until Sunday evening, so we'll have to work on that afterwards. But yeah, I think that might come attractive at this point. Use it to wire a few things that are coming up. Just FYI, I've got solar panels, which are not for sale, but we got some 30-volt solar panels. Actually, if people want pointers to where I got them from, I can point you to them. I found it on Craigslist, and the guy has a decent stock, but 30 volts requires a bit of a challenge to figure out how to regulate down to a 12-volt battery. But they're very expensive chargers, and we seem to have found an inexpensive charger regulator circuit. And we're going to see how that tests out over the next couple of weeks and report that back to the net. The alternative is to resect the cells on the power on the cells of the cell platform itself to, instead of being 30 volts plus, to be 15 volts plus by taking half of each, or each half of the panels, and basically putting it in such a way as to be put in parallel with itself. You can accomplish that. So that may be, either way, they are 220 watt panels, and they have lots and lots of current, even in the sunshine. So it's pretty exciting. Alrighty, anything else, Jim? W2JC2BAR.
W2JC, I saw your emails about them, but they're a little out of the price I want to put out on something I don't particularly need at the moment. Putting them in parallel would give you, of course, twice as much current.
Right, but the trick is you have to find a way to split the array on a per panel basis and then rewire it. It figured out how to do that. But if we can avoid having to do that, having to surgery on these panels, I think that would be wise. But the panels, for the amount of power you get, polycrystalline panels, so they'll work in really crappy light, quite a bit of electricity even in low light. So pretty excited about them. So hopefully this new controller will do the trick, and if it does, great. If not, we'll resect the panel. As you said, make it so that instead of having them in all the cells in series, take half of them and put them in parallel with the other half, and doubling the current. So we'll work on that. Thank you, Jim. Randy, any other comments or questions that we should go to K2BR?
Didn't have anybody on the list, but I do have a comment about a for sale item that I will be offering.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra. Since this is a commercial offering and not a simple private sale, I don't want to get into any details or pricing, but I have the capability of manufacturing travel mugs, which I've done for a number of hams in the area, and if you're interested in call sign engraved travel mugs, if you're in the vehicle a lot and you like hot coffee or cold soda, this might be something you would be interested in. Plus, I'm working on a design for call sign badges. I know there's not a lot of call for that kind of thing, but I do have the capability, and I wanted to put together a couple for myself, so I'll probably be offering that in the near future as well. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net control.
That's lovely. I was going to talk to you about accountability tags and how we could, you know, work that ID badges as well, preparing it, as well as who's on scene but hasn't checked out matching formats or getting the ID badges, the accountability badge in badge behind, so hand over two of their badges, one of their badges, accountability board. That way we can place where they're assigned, not accounted for if the two badges aren't put back together, you know. But we can talk about that. They don't have to be big. That's the other good news about that. We can certainly work that. Anyway, any thoughts on that, Randy?
I think I have a picture of what you mean. I think it's a great idea. Would also have some, other related uses for an emergency operations, perhaps that kind of thing. Easy to manufacture, very useful article. Again, not necessarily related to ham radio, but what got me thinking about this again is my gorgeous two granddaughters that I spent a lot of time with and think an awful lot about, as well as their education, and I'm starting to put together some puzzles and three-dimensional toys for them that I manufacture here, and so I'm kind of branching out into those kind of things, and where I can, I try and do some test pieces that might be useful to the ham radio community as well. But if any of you have grandchildren looking for some build it yourself toy kind of things, let me know. I'd be happy to look into that for you and perhaps supply you with some of those as well, because I'm doing it for my own family. Back to net.
Well, I'm not there in the grandchildren business yet, but I'm sure that's coming in due time. But one thing I think you should do, and if you're going to make, you know, puzzles or other things that you mill or print, that the pieces should come together, or either individually or as a group, should have who you made it for, when you made it, and it's from grandpa and grandma or something like that on there, so that, you know, when they're 12, when they're 22, when they're 32, they can show that to others and nostalgic in a very appropriate manner.
Well, that's a great idea, Gordon. Thank you very much. I just wrote a note on it. I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. I think that's the kind of thing that, even if it gets, shoved away in the attic in later years by the grandchildren, and after I'm long, long gone, they may end up pulling it out of some old suitcase for their children and fondly remember it. And that's the nice thing about families is they, you kind of live on in their memory. So I'll definitely do that. Thanks for the great suggestion.
FYI, each one of my three sons has a stool that Pop-Pop made for them. Has their routed into the top of the stool. Each one of them wants to make sure that even though, I mean, like the one who's the two that are out of the house and in the apartment, don't want them with them right yet, but they want to make damn sure that they have not been misplaced or otherwise abused. Because they are going to want them. That has been made abundantly clear. So, commenting about my comment, I thought of that. So, you're absolutely right. And things like the captain's beds that Pop-Pop made for them, we built it in their bedroom for the older two. They had to be disassembled because they could not. They were basically built one time. And so they did not live on in the remodeling 10 years ago, but the stools, oh, my Lord, yes, very important stuff in my family. Alrighty, anybody else have anything they want to ask Randy about? Okay, well, just a couple of things come into mind here. On Monday, there will be a Red Cross Amateur Radio Club meeting, Park Squared, in Fairfield at 7 p.m. the Fairfield Red Cross building. And just as a reminder, there'll be several topics of presentation there, and not a lot of business and a lot of activity, good stuff. And one is that taking a cue from Randy's power blocks, I made some power blocks as well using Anderson power poles, and I'll have a couple of for people to manhandle. Randy might bring one or two too. You can see that. Well, his are all pretty. Mine are still raw, so you can see what's inside, but I don't know what Randy has, but that might be. And then we're also going to do a radio over IP demonstration and with Mark Hershen and 2MH, and Randy and I will be in supporting roles, but a radio over IP with a mesh network and possibly even a voice network, a tunnel network, we'll see. Talk a little bit about that on Monday night, so you're welcome to come for that. And what else? Yeah, I guess that's about it. There's a couple other projects that will be evolving over time, but those are some of the things for the next couple of days. Of course, Friday night is Pearland Amateur Radio Club. Let me drop it. Friday night is the Pearland Amateur Radio Club. Many Andy will be there tomorrow night. I will not. I will be at the Naval Academy with my scouts doing a science, technology, engineering, math merit badge jamboree weekend. That should be fun. And the like. So it we're pretty excited. Anybody have anything? Actually, Randy, do we have any other topics for the net?
Didn't have anything else listed on the sign-in list, but maybe there's somebody else on the net that has thought of a comment or a question.
2EIR.
Ah, Howie, you never fail to disappoint. You never disappoint. You always fail. You always come through. You never fail. I'll get my metaphor straightened out eventually. K2EIR from K2BAR.
Maybe you want to quit while you're ahead. I just want to go back to what W2JC, Jim Cooper, had to say about his connectors, right angle connectors. It's just something I do here, and you can call me overly concerned or whatever, but I think I'm one of those hams, or one of those people where things don't always come easily, that is, money-wise or financing. So I try to take care of, I think all my life I've tried to take care of things and make them last as long as possible. Having said that, if you have a rig and it has a coaxial connector, if you are connecting and disconnecting the cable often, of course you're going to have wear. And it's sometimes a good idea to connect and disconnect the cable, to avoid static damage, etc., or to prevent lightning from getting to the rig. And one of the things I do is I try to put a intervening coaxial connector, and it's typically a right-angle connector. It makes access to the rig on the desk, I think, a little bit easier. So what I'm trying to say is I use a right-angle connector that I leave on the rig, and I connect and disconnect coax, and that way the rig lasts a lot longer. Along the same lines for the microphone connector, since so many of them are RJ45 or RJ14 or 12, you can put in a little jumper and a double female connector there. It can often be very handy to disconnect the mic that way, but it also means that you're preventing wear at the rig's connector. And it can be very useful if you're going in and out of the car and you take the microphone with you or something like that. So I just wanted to point that out. Sort of my tip for the day, but again, not everyone has the concerns I have. I may be fanatic, so I pass it along. It's stated now, it's out, and I'll shut up. W2TTT from K2EIR.
That's a great tip. That's an absolutely great tip, so I commend you for it, Howie. Anybody have any questions about the topics of connectorization, durability, usability, etc.?
It's frugal, not fanatic.
I was thinking OCD myself. Alrighty, a lot disgusting, Howie. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
K2GFM.
QGFN. Go ahead, Frank.
Greg, K2GFM, as in Mike. And the question is, actually, I was thinking about this as we were talking. I'm new to ham, so I'm a novice. And the question is, I'm installing a new mobile rig in my car, and I was just curious what the general consensus is for running power to the radio. Obviously, I need to run a power to the battery. Do I need to run the ground to the battery, or can I connect that ground to a metal source within the passenger compartment?
Okay. We actually discussed this a couple of months ago, and it's always good every few months to talk about it again. As large a cable as you can get to the battery, plus and minus, fused on both leads at the battery. The reason why you fuse the ground is in case the vehicle ground lets go, you don't want your radio to become the ground. So you fuse it or put a circuit breaker on it, and that makes all the world of a difference on the ground lead as well. So that's what one does. And on the user side, I'm partial to power pole distribution myself.
To EIR.
Howie.
Yeah, I only say this because it did, the way I did it, it worked for me, but if you don't feel comfortable running battery cables through the firewall to get into the cabin, you know, you don't feel comfortable directly connecting to the battery. What I did is when I needed a new battery, I asked my mechanic to do the wiring, and the combined purchase and installation of the battery plus the wiring was only a little bit more than it would have cost without him connecting up the cables. In general, you probably want to, once you get into the cabin, especially if you want to get to the trunk, there's that well, I forgot the proper name for it, that goes where the door opens on the bottom there, and that's one way of routing cables to the trunk in case you want to put the rig in the trunk and the control head up in the cabin. So that's what I've learned, and again, very few sometimes. Not everybody seems to know that, and so I just thought I'd bring that out and make it explicit. K2EIR.
And to facilitate that, I would recommend that you bring the wire you want, as heavy as you can possibly muster, along with all the rest of the goodies with you, and they will find a way through the firewall through an existing grommet, Greg, so you'll be in good shape if you bring them cable and preferably the fuses, fuse holders, etc. But and they'll work up the rest for you at the battery. Over.
Okay, those are good tips. I was looking at a couple of videos. I've got a car that presents some very interesting problems for doing this kind of installation, but I know how to get it through. The radio that I'm purchasing is the Kenwood TM. D71A, I think I got that right number. And I think it comes with the kit, or I think I ordered the kit to run to the battery. But it sounds like you're talking about even thinking about getting a much thicker gauge wire. What type of gauge are you talking about?
Typically run anywhere between 10 down to 4, depending on the current, but you know, 10, 8, 6, they're all good for that, you know, depending on how much current you need to pull.
Okay, so that's a good thick wire. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the key point is to run both leads and ground, and fuse both sides. That's important. Alrighty, anybody else have any thoughts for Greg?
W2IPP?
W2JC.
QQBC. I got three. Real quick, before you guys go in, we'll get you in order. APP, JC, and QVC. So I think that's the right order. But before you go, Greg, or before we let them go, Greg, in order, what is the vehicle that's such a challenge?
A little sporty Subaru STI, 2015, and it's got the silly wing on the back, which makes the whole antenna issue a problem. And it looks like to run cables from the passenger or driver's compartment to the engine, I have to actually some of the bodywork to put it through the sunroof drainage grommet. Doesn't seem to be any other options there. So I'm still investigating, but it's a little bit of a challenge.
Okay, very good. APP, good evening, Paul. W2APP, K2BAR.
K2BAR, W2APP. Yeah, I've been here, done it, wrote the T-shirt. Part of the problem with the newer cars is the fact that the firewall is now part of the structure. So you get a lot of heavier steel in there, and you really, it's very hard in some cars to get through the firewall. Quick tip, which is with all disclaimers, do not do this unless you really know what you're doing, you're willing to accept all liability. Where the steering column comes through the firewall is generally a boot. What you can do is pierce the boot, run a cable through, cable tie both ends to basically get you a hot feed from the battery. At that point, I would say, in most of the newer cars, then find a good ground within, unless you actually want to run a second cable through, because it's getting through these firewalls is now getting so much difficult because of the structural integrity of the car, because there's no, you know, they got rid of the steel on the panels, the crushability, etc., etc., etc. It's really, in some ways, the only way through, unless you're actually going to get a really big drill bit and just drill a hole straight right through and you don't know what you're going to hit. With that, I'll send it back to K2BAR from W2APP.
There's usually a number of harnesses that you can put power on, Paul. So, you know, the vehicle still has to get power and control, lots of control leads in the passenger compartment. So, I'm not so fatalistic. But barring that, all the points you made are right. I'm just not a big fan of piercing the boot around the steering column. That's just a personal preference. I'd make that my last choice from hell, frankly. But certainly interesting. Okay, next person was Paul. Who was before Bruce? Somebody else before Bruce. I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember who.
JPP.
Paul first, and then it's Jim. Go ahead, Paul.
Just with that, if you actually take a look down into the wells, the harnesses going through the firewall are very, very tight. So if you're actually trying to poke something through there, I'd be more worried about actually just shorting out something in the harness. At that point, then you've got really, really, really big problems. With that, send it back to W2APP, back to K2BAR.
Perhaps, but if everything properly insulated, you shouldn't have too much trouble. But your point's well taken. If it's too tight, then either use a smaller gauge wire or don't do it. Yeah, that could be. All right, W2JC, K2BAR.
I had 2 points, now I have three. The third one first. Pushing through, my idea would be to use like a wooden dowel or something like that, because that won't cut as much into the cables. And also, I probably would try to get some plastic tubing and put it over the dowel and get that to push through alongside the harness. And that way, the cable, the wire being added, could be pulled through that plastic sheath, and again, not abrase the harness. Number two, good reason not to use the body ground for grounding is because it relies on all the different sections of the car being properly welded together, and over the years, the corrosion can sometimes make that not a very good electrical connection. And number three, my suggestion would be to use the heaviest wire you can get, run it into the passenger compartment, and terminate it on some kind of a block. Because if you ever want to add more stuff
more equipment and whatever and need more amps, you'll already have the heavy wire in there and a place to hook up to it. All right.
Good suggestion. Very good suggestion. All righty. Our guy in front of me is trying to get me killed. He's slowing down to 20 miles an hour on the right-hand lane of Route 17 with a signal on. He doesn't pull into any of the shoulder areas, but by God, he's going to get us all killed. All righty. Good idea. WA2QBC, Bruce.
QBAR in the group, WA2QBC. Just a couple of quick comments here. Ditto. Gordon's comment about using power poles, I tend to like them also. In terms of wire gauge, 14 gauge will do it for 15 amps. 12 gauge will do it for 20 amps. You want stranded wire. And some places do sell fine stranded wire, which is a little easier to work with and a little more flexible. And for penetrating the grommet instead of metal, you can use some kind of a pointed steel, pointed plastic tool to go through those, and less chance of poking through some of the other wires.
Good idea, and all around. Anybody else with suggestions?
T2EIR.
Howie?
One additional thought is that there's a variety of clamps you can get at the battery side. Choosing wisely here can make it easier if you have to unclamp from the battery and want to reclamp, or relative to the rig, or you want to disconnect the wires from the rig because of some work that you can't disconnect at the other end. Of course, that's the beauty of power poles. They're so easy to plug and unplug. Again, there are a variety of clamps. If you look around online, you might also want to, when you do that wiring, change the clamps to something that will work best to you. K2VIR.
UCAK.
Okay, thank you. Howie, who was the other station?
Ari, KD2CAK with a comment, late checking.
Ari, good evening. KD2, Charlie Alpha Kilo. Go right ahead.
All right. Anytime I get a chance to throw in the KISS method, and it's been ignored this long, I do recommend turning the car into some bright sunlight when looking for a hole between. Often those grommets go into another case where it's not actually going through. So if you're going to press around them, use a Phillips head screwdriver carefully. It's a lot nicer if you can look for light. Similarly, I do not recommend going through the sunroof with any wiring if you can avoid it. So if you want to find a way into the trunk, let me look up. Turning the car around into the trunk also will help you find that passageway into the trunk. As far as the width of the wire or the gauge of the wire goes, since you're using a remote head unit, if you decide to mount it in the trunk, because you have a longer run of wire, that's when it becomes more critical to step to, say, number 10 in order to maintain your voltage all the way back to the trunk. I have one more comment. I'll wait till it comes back to me. The power poles, once you do it, you're kind of married to them. But enjoy, because they do work, but you're going to go out and buy a crimper. And I will stand by. Back to net, KD2CAK.
W2NPR.
W2S.
Okay, I got NPR and W2S in that order. Give me 1 second. I just want to point out that your point about long runs makes good sense, Ari, and using larger gauge wire. I'll be real honest. I use the larger gauge wire coming from underneath the hood just into the passenger compartment, even on a sedan, although I have not had to do it here. I've taken a different approach in my car, but let's go on to our comments. So, W2NPR and then W2S in turn. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, all. This is Hector here, W2NPR. What I have not heard from the station who's looking to purchase this car is the type of antenna he wants to use. Some of the newer cars, I would say post-2007, some panels, in and what I mean by panels is trunk, hood, doors, are not electrically connected to the rest of the vehicle.